Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I'm the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake, BJ Shea, is on assignment, reading all them Spider-Man comics. But running the boards is Joey D's. Wow, look at that. Oh, the saddest guy who is not in Smash.
Wow, yeah. Luigi.
Wah, Luigi. Yes, it's Wednesday. Yeah. We'll be talking a lot of Marvel things that are going on, including some major characters that will show up for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We will also talk about the five characters the MCU should reintroduce, according to a website that, well, they're very comic booky, but I have to really disagree with one of these.
Oh boy.
Mm. Oh yeah. And maybe that more, but of course the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com.
We're
gonna have our blogs, podcasts, and more.
More.
Or just search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app to find us.
Yeah, so many different things that are going on. And this is very, very interesting. So we do know that James Gunn is working on a multitude of things. He is working on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. He's also working on the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which I think is coming out this year and should introduce a major character. He has said so. We don't know which one it will be, but it looks like that James Gunn himself has confirmed that Adam Warlock will be in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Woo!
Wait, who's that played by?
This is going to be played by...
Is it full? Like, because I've seen say that it is official, that it's like a rumor. Has it been official?
Well, the thing was is James Gunn, he said this in a tweet, and he says, as you guys know, I often strike down false rumors. So, welcome to the Guardians family, Will Poulter. He's an amazing actor and a wonderful guy. See you in a couple of weeks. Hashtag Adam Warlock. Hashtag GOTG Vol 3. Deadline Hollywood did announce that Will Poulter will be playing Adam Warlock in the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie, in the next installment of the Marvel franchise.
I mean, I've seen him in serious stuff. He's a British dude, but all I think of him is the weird kid from We're the Millers.
Yes, if you've ever seen We're the Millers with Jennifer Aniston.
And Jason Sudeikis.
Yes, and they're the ones who are trying to basically drug run.
They're doing a drug run pretending to be a family.
Exactly. And so he was the kid. He's the one who is like, you're getting paid? Like that whole meme. So, yeah, he plays that kid. He's got very expressive eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So,
He was also in Chronicles of Narnia.
Was he
as
really?
A kid. Yep.
Yeah, he's landed the role of Warlock in Marvel's anticipated sequel. James Gunn is returning to direct. And like with any Marvel film details, we do not know. But he has been teased a lot, and especially at the post-credit scene for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
He's supposed to be like the most perfect being, most beautiful being.
Aisha, who was played by Elizabeth Debicki, unveils her chambermaid to her chambermaid the perfect sovereign she has created to help destroy the Guardians. The sovereign were the golden people at the beginning of Volume 2.
Yeah, like the video game shuttle ships that were attacking them.
Yeah, that Rocket stole the very important batteries.
Yep.
And when he said he wouldn't, but then he did, and so they got him chasing over them, and then Ego saved them all, and then you find out all about, you know, through Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 about how much of a douche Ego is. Yes. So yes, we've been kind of waiting patiently, and I wouldn't have really figured out how that would have really happened, to be perfectly honest, because Adam Warlock is very integrated and entwined in the Infinity Gems of the comic books. Mm. So with the whole Infinity War, the whole thing that we just saw with the Infinity Saga played out on the MCU, Adam Warlock was one of the key points of all of this. And he's been very much entwined with the Infinity Gauntlet. He has wielded it. Different versions of him have wielded it. He has broken himself off into two different parts to be one super good and one, well, not. Because, well, what are you going to have when you have all that? But yeah, so he will be in this. And so I'm very interested to be seeing how they're going to be going about with this. Because,
I mean, we have seen in, like, What If, and even in the Loki show, that, I mean, there's gems everywhere.
And they
and
are.
They're paperweights.
And, I mean, even with, like, yeah, the What If with Ultimate Ultron, the Infinity Ultron playing around with that. The Infinity Stones are still a part of stuff. But, like, considering the whole 22-movie saga was about collecting the gems and dealing with that, they don't need to go back and revisit those. Like, the stones, they did a good thing with that. I just feel that even kind of hearkening back to it kind of over and over like they have been, let it go. Like, it was good for Loki, and it was good for What If, because they're pushing the multiverse concept, so they still want to have some of those older things. But just go full on with the multiverse. Don't worry so much about the Infinity Stones, gems, whatever the hell you want to call them at this point in time. Like, so at that point, I just don't know what they're going to be doing with Adam Warlock, other than he's probably going to be a major baddie, maybe turned goody when it comes down to that, which they've done a lot with Guardians of the Galaxy. We've seen it with Nebula, and we've seen it with just the characters themselves. Mm-hmm. They're not really goody two shoes. They're kind of the anti-hero when it comes down to it. So very excited to see where they're going to be going, but we don't necessarily even know when Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is even going to come out. They just know that they say May 5th, 2023, but the last couple of years,
anything goes.
Yeah, yeah, anything can go at that point in time. I want to see what he's going to look like, because, I mean, he should be painted gold like the rest of them.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I think, like, Boss Logic, if you guys have heard of that person, they're on Twitter and Instagram, and they create really awesome fan art. And I think they did one of Adam Warlock recently.
Really?
Where is it? Oh, he looks phenomenal, actually.
Oh,
it's,
wow.
It's of Will Poulter as Adam Warlock.
Yeah, so they have made it up to look pretty good. That hair is ridiculous.
I feel like that hair needs to happen, because I just picture him again as in We're the Millers, which, by the way, I forgot that, what's her face? Agatha was in it as well.
Was she really?
Yes.
Catherine Hahn was in it?
Hahn.
I need to watch that movie then. I've heard good things about it.
Oh, it's shenanigans, and there's Jennifer Aniston stripper, but she's married to Ron Swanson, Nick Offerman.
Oh, wow.
That character. That movie looks shenanigans. So,
well, one day after Marvel Studios confirmed that Will Poulter will be playing Adam Warlock in the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy film, they have actually also, Marvel has a Guardians of the Galaxy video game, and they have confirmed that Adam Warlock will appear in the game. So maybe there's a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 tie-in with the game itself.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know, Joe, if you've played or know anyone who's played the Marvel Avengers game itself.
No, I haven't.
So, yeah, I don't know if it's going to play like that one or anything along those lines. But, yeah, so he's going to be in the game as well, which means, again, it just, like, everything ties in together. They're going to have all these different things and being a part of it. So very, very curious to see how that's going to work out. Moving on from that, this I found on Comic Book Resources.
Is it a list?
It's a list. It's a short list. It's five obscure characters that the MCU should reintroduce. This is a highly contested, debated list.
Should I bring back Tony Stark post?
No, because they should not bring him back.
Aww.
No. He's not obscure at all, by the way.
That's true.
The entirety of the entire MCU franchise is based around Tony Stark, sir. Yeah.
So is it just the characters? Or are we talking about, like, the actors and the characters?
They're talking about the actors and the characters.
Oh.
So think along the signs of multiverse variants or any of those things like that. So these are characters who may not have been in the MCU, but they want to bring back to put into the MCU. First one on this is one that I refuse to watch the movies, so I don't know how this is going to go. Ghost Rider, Nicolas Cage.
What?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
What?
I'll read what they have to say about it.
Okay.
This 2007 Marvel movie saw Nicolas Cage play the skeletal motorcycle Ghost Rider with mixed reception at best on that. Despite the quality of the movie and its sequel, there's no doubt that Nicolas Cage in the MCU would shake things up. There's a charm to his over-the-top acting that can steal a scene, and it would no doubt be entertaining to see his interactions with other MCU characters. On top of that, it would be interesting to see Nick Cage take on Ghost Rider when written to the same quality as the current MCU films, as the character has a lot more to offer and is very possible he'd earn a better reception.
I honestly would rather Nicolas Cage come in some like live-action form of Spider-Noir.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. And that part of that is also the problem. But then again, Catherine Hahn played Agatha and she was Doc Ock in Into the Spider-Verse. So like, you can double that up and be okay with that. It's voice actors. You can kind of, there's a differential on that. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with that.
It's just Nicolas Cage is just so goofy.
Yeah.
And campy. Like, if he's going to be a quote unquote serious character now.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was in that one weird one, like Freddy something. Do you remember the weird teddy bear guy?
Five Nights at Freddy's?
I think he did some sort of movie like that recently. And I'm like, okay, it's supposed to be dark and weird, but it's Nicolas Cage, so he can pull off weird.
He does a lot of strange stuff. I still feel that he had an amazing role as Big Daddy in Kick-Ass.
Yes.
Like, he was very good in that. So,
and I mean, it wasn't nerdy, but, you know, the history of swear words where he was just him. Yeah. As the host was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think the problem with Nicolas Cage's character of Ghost Rider is that he doesn't really fit the MCU. Like, Cage himself would be fine, but Ghost Rider kind of deals with death and, like, the afterworld and the devil, and that doesn't really...
He was in S.H.I.E.L.D., in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not Nick Cage, but Ghost Rider with Robbie Reyes.
Oh, and it was Willy's Wonderland that had that
Willy's Wonderland.
It's like that Five Nights at Freddy vibe.
Okay, yeah.
It's shenanigans looking, seriously.
I don't necessarily disagree, but they're also... They've come out with... doing Blade, like that's already been confirmed, and there might be the fact that it might be released sooner than we expected with Mahershala Ali, so they're bringing that back. Ghost Rider did run with Blade for a while.
See, that's fine, but that's not part of the like Avengers MCU, right?
Oh no.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to be seeing Ghost Rider in the Avengers.
No,
but there's adjacent stuff that he could be a part of.
I could see him being in a show. However, I mean, it's kind of hard to say because. It's all going to be Disney Plus now. Obviously, they had their whole thing with Netflix. That's no longer a thing. So they're obviously all their shows are going to have to appear on Disney Plus, like in theory, unless they decide to do some Hulu stuff because they own most of Hulu anyways. I feel like it might be too dark, but we've seen some dark stuff come out of like, was it What If with the zombie thing?
Yeah. And there have been some of that. Maybe it's just like, hey, the people who are growing up watching the superhero films have grown up a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more of that dealing with, especially like the spirit of vengeance that Ghost Rider is.
Is Blade going to be on Disney Plus?
I think it's going to be a movie.
Okay,
so eventually it will be on Disney Plus. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably like a hard PG-13. I don't feel that they're going to go Deadpool with it.
Yeah, but this is my problem with these shows. It's so weird to me. I don't know how you can put Blade on Disney Plus or anything like that.
The next list on this is probably my favorite Punisher, Thomas Jane. Now, I know everyone loves Jon Bernthal, and I do love Jon Bernthal as an actor, and I do love his portrayal as the Punisher. But if you haven't seen, was it Dirty Laundry?
Oh, yeah.
With Thomas Jane.
On YouTube, it's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah, it's a short that really redeems Thomas Jane as that character when the movie kind of, well, obviously fell flat. It is easy to forget the fact that he did do that. Thomas Jane plays the anti-hero, the Punisher, and does a good job of portraying the criminal hunter hell-bent on revenge, whereas most of the movie's criticism stems from the fact that John Travolta was terrible. Now, with a still active career and acting, Thomas Jane would likely be open in returning to the role since he jokingly voiced the Punisher in a recent 2019 episode of Robot Chicken.
Oh, that's funny.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so he seems like he would be okay with that.
So the one thing I'm curious about, now that everything is canon, we know that the Netflix series, they've already, even though they've mentioned the events of what was going on in the MCU, the Avengers and everything, they're not technically canon from what I understand, correct? They're not canon, but they weren't connected. That's why we didn't see Daredevil and the Punisher in those movies.
Yeah, I think so.
Because one of the things that I just remembered was that Mahershala Ali was already, he was in Luke Cage the first season.
Yeah.
He's going to be in Blade.
Was he Cottonmouth?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, would Blade in theory be just like a completely different character that's already in our timeline, or is he going to be from a different universe?
And that's kind of the key that we're going to have to figure out too, because there, this article is really kind of hinging on that bet. Like, you can bring them back because the multiverse is broken.
Right.
The next one on this, I didn't like her standalone movie, but I thought she was fine in an otherwise terrible movie. Daredevil's Elektra, played by Jennifer Garner. Now, and I don't remember her character enough. The only character I really remember and really liking was Colin Farrell's Bullseye. Because that was, it was hokey, it was kind of cheesy, but he just chewed his line. He loved that. Like, or if not, he acted well enough to make me think that he loved playing that character. So I was okay with it.
It's kind of a tricky thing for me because Daredevil came out in 2003, the one with Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
I was 13 years old. So, of course, plus the soundtrack with, like, Evanescence, Bring Me to Life. Oh, my God, I was blown away. So, in my head, I still think of it as a phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
And same with Elektra. That came out a few years later, and I also thought that was phenomenal.
Yep.
What, 2005, 15 years old. So, I thought it was great. Looking back on it, there's a lot of cheesy moments in both.
Yeah.
But I really loved the new Elektra Nachios we got, who had more of, because she was Greek, that more, like, Greek interpretation.
Yeah.
Side note, do you guys remember who was also in that movie?
No.
That is big in the MCU?
No.
Happy?
Really?
He played...
Favreau was in that?
Favreau was Ben Affleck's buddy.
Oh, sidekick lawyer.
What's his name?
Oh, God, you're right.
Oh, I'm blanking on his name.
Was it Nelson? Happy Nelson? No, it wasn't Happy Nelson. What was it?
Something Nelson. Nelson and Murdoch. I don't know.
No. Murdoch was...
Yeah, Murdoch was the guy. Nelson
Matt Murdoch.
Nelson was his buddy, right?
Franklin Foggy Nelson.
Foggy. I knew it wasn't Happy because he was happy in something else.
Isn't it? Well, he's happy in the MCU. Happy Hogan.
I didn't realize he was Foggy. That's so funny.
And then Ellen Pompeo was Karen Page.
Wow. Interesting.
And this is also the one for you youngins who don't know who this is. Michael Clarke Duncan, who is a phenomenal actor, may he rest in peace, played a phenomenal Kingpin, which honestly, arguably, is probably the best thing of that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it
really was.
Aside
from the soundtrack.
Yeah, and then just the fact that, I mean, Michael Clarke Duncan did a really great job, and unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but, like, Vincent D'Onofrio just absolutely destroyed that role. It's one of the best portrayals of a character like that I've seen.
We need more Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin and everything.
We're never going to get more Daredevil either. It's so disappointing.
Who's hope? Like, there's so
there
many rumors.
There could be. You don't know.
It's
you don't
dead
know.
And gone.
You don't know.
Swallow the pill, rip the Band-Aid.
They do say the character of Elektra has a lot more to offer than the movies gave her, and more than just a love interest to Daredevil, so that's fine. And they still have the current Elektra still around, and it would be entertaining to see the interactions with Jennifer Garner because they both played very different versions. Again, they're kind of...
She's still, quote-unquote, around.
Yep.
If she's around, then Charlie Cox's Daredevil is also still around.
Exactly.
Why did I just sound like BJ there? I don't know.
The next one on this is a character that I'm not familiar with, Man-Thing.
I know that he had like a TV series or something, and it lasted one episode. It is a relatively new one.
Voiced by Conan Stevens, the Man-Thing movie barely resembles the comics as the beast is turned into nothing more than a swamp monster terrorizing locals. However, the design of Man-Thing was one positive in the movie, so carrying that over to the MCU would be interesting.
And Conan Stevens is one of the actors who portrayed the Mountain on Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the beardy dude.
And if you don't know anything about Man-Thing, it's the story of Professor Theodore Solis, who becomes Man-Thing as a tragic tale on as he seeks to become a hero. Now, the last...
Sorry. I was confusing him with Swamp Thing, which is DC's.
Yeah.
He had a show, and it was canceled after the first episode.
Yeah, the man...
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, Man-Thing doesn't look great. I mean, it
looks
cool.
Swamp Thing.
It looks cool, like, on the still picture, so I think just the visual of that would be really cool, but...
He looks like Cthulhu made out of seaweed.
That's why I like it.
Because he looks like Cthulhu.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was because of the seaweed.
Now, the...
He does like a good sushi roll.
I do. Now, finally on this list is the one I have the biggest problem with because I'm already mad about it.
Oh. Then it has to be Howard the Duck.
It is absolutely Howard the Duck. Not the Seth Green-voiced Howard the Duck, which recently got married to Darcy in What If.
In one of the episodes. It's Vegas. It doesn't count.
Weirdest episode.
Oh, it was so great.
It was entertaining. I was very annoyed with Howard the Duck, though.
Oh, you hate him in everything.
Because I watched the original movie, you youngins. You might not know that there was a Marvel movie called Howard the Duck back in 1986, played by Ed Gale. Ed Gale was the Howard, and they're saying that, yes, we should bring it back. Now, I'll read what they have to say here. Arguably the weirdest movie on the list, Howard the Duck went to the big screen in his own bizarrely sexual 1986 movie. Performed by Ed Gale, Howard the Duck has been remembered for how outlandish his portrayal is and would undoubtedly be entertaining to watch in the MCU. The character has even cameoed multiple times in the MCU, voiced by Seth Green, and even fought in the final Avengers Endgame battle. You see him once in one scene. It doesn't count. I don't think he fought. He probably ran away. He's a duck.
I am so confused, because if you go with the IMDb,
mm-hmm.
there are so many people who played Howard the Duck.
Well, in the original...
The movie.
In the original movie, he with an actor in a real duck costume, take some cameos to another level and embrace the weirdness the multiverse could have to offer.
It had Leia Thompson.
It did have Leia Thompson, and it had, is it Jeffrey? It's Jeffrey Jones, maybe?
Jeffrey Jones.
Yeah, Jeffrey Jones in it, who is
Wasn't he in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yes, yep. He was the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Amadeus. He was an Amadeus.
Was he really?
That's according to this.
But that's one of those movies that I won't even say as a fun, like, go back and watch, because it's weird. It's not cool. Leah Thompson maybe gets it on with a duck. It's, well, Howard the Duck, and not, yeah.
I don't get it.
You don't need to. Like,
why did they bring it back in What If?
Because he was in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was part of the collector's stash with Cosmo. So you saw him as a cameo in that. And wow. So he's made a couple of cameos because James Gunn has a fascination with Howard the Duck that I can't understand.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
James Gunn has a fascination with weird stuff. And I have learned to accept it and embrace it because have you not seen Suicide Squad?
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, seriously.
Suicide Squad,
you got TDK, you got Nathan Fillion as the detachable kid. A guy who has, I think, like two, like...
Who we don't know if he... Spoiler alert, we don't know if he's alive or not.
True. Like, his character may have actually lived through that massacre. But, like, it's a character who has just detachable arms.
Yeah, I guess I'm just...
He just loves those weird, obscure characters that somebody made up in some
Weasel.
Weird... Yeah, some LSD fever dream.
Yeah, I mean, and he embraces hilarious, them. Yeah.
But also note that James Gunn was also a man who worked with Troma Pictures, which you may know for such great films as Toxic Avenger. And all of those other ones.
I don't know that one.
Oh, go back and watch some of that stuff. It's highly disgusting, but very entertaining. I can't even call them B movies. They're like a step lower than B. So,
is there any seaweed involved?
There's not seaweed involved. Get away from me with your seaweed.
He's a toxic Avenger.
Get away from me with your seaweed talk. Yeah, so let us know if there's other characters that maybe in the past that they would they should bring back for the multiverse. And if you say Howard the Duck in any form, I'm just going to block you.
No, he's not. Yeah. I won't let him.
Mm-hmm. Well, now it is time for...
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what do you got for us?
So we know that the next Marvel movie coming out soon is Eternals.
Yes!
It's like only a few weeks away, and I may have to bail on my cousin's bridal shower.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have to go see a Marvel movie. Why? Well, it's for work.
Yep,
perfect excuse to get out of wedding stuff.
I'm already went to the other wedding stuff, and I'm going to more wedding stuff. So let me watch The Eternals. It looks like it's going to be so beautiful.
I know. I am really stoked for this because with all the hype for, especially with like Spider-Man and like a lot of the other stuff and things that are coming up way in the future, I feel a lot of people have kind of forgotten about this, and there's some major, major players in this movie.
I think it's because all the other things that are coming up are characters we already know and love. This is a whole new thing.
Good call, yeah.
So Eternals was actually like a Jack Kirby creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually got a really popular limited series back in 2006 written by Neil Gaiman, and it was actually illustrated by John Romita Jr. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So they were talking to producer Nate Moore about the upcoming movie, and he discussed that Eternals are, as you guys probably know, was created by Jack Kirby in 1976, and the most popular run again was by Neil Gaiman. And I think that's the expectation of this movie. Well, we'll probably borrow out from that, but truth be, is actually that we are more inspired by the Kirby stuff. So we're going back to the old stuff, both mythologically and how the movie lays out.
And that, I think, is kind of important in terms of the first Doctor Strange, really, especially when he went into Dormammu's universe sort of thing, was super heavily inspired by Jack Kirby's kind of psychedelic versions. And when it comes down to that sort of thing. So if they're that, it seems would make the most sense if they're doing that, because it keeps it kind of the same sort of idea as they're going along with it. That, yeah, like the universe, when you're out there in these weird space and multiverse and times sort of things, are going to be visually and maybe aesthetically the same as like a Jack Kirby psychedelic trip.
Right. And he also added that the Game and Run, which was his introduction to the characters outside of Cersei being a member of the Avengers, was very much about people who didn't realize they were special, and then, of course, coming and saying, hey, guess what, you guys, we're mortals and your memories have been erased. He continues saying, that's pretty cool, but also the plot of Harry Potter and I'm Number Four and a lot of other movies like that. The Matrix, right?
Them. Yeah. Whereas
we thought it would be more interesting in spending more time with the characters who knew exactly who they were, and to track those characters through our movie with, you know, it being 7,000 years of human history.
And that's,
which I'm okay with.
Yeah. And that's like one of those fun things as well, because they have to now answer questions as to, and I mean, that was the big one. It's like, where were you when Thanos did the big snap? Why didn't you assist in that? And that was even addressed in the final trailer, where they were just like, we only deal with the deviants. And so it'll be fun just to kind of see how they answer more of those sort of questions. Like, where have you been for 7,000 years?
Does anyone else hate that hand wave? I hate that hand wave. Like, no offense, but I'm like, oh, so half the population isn't good enough to try to save?
Of the universe. You're not wrong. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, and like, what happens? Like, did they just know that half of them weren't going to get snapped out, or they weren't pissed off when like one of their brothers or sisters got whacked?
Right.
I mean, it's one of those two. Like, it's the whole like old school oath situation, because you could say the same thing with the Watcher. It's like your oath is just to watch, but crap is going awry and you're just going to watch.
See,
it's the old school stuff.
He stepped up. Where were these Eternals?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Answer these questions.
Because that explanation of like, oh, we didn't want them to not know they didn't have their powers. I'm like, but that is a good excuse.
Right.
Why are we giving a worse one?
Okay, so if you guys couldn't figure out from the trailers, Eternals have two separate storylines, which was obviously recently confirmed. So with the first showing the Eternals in the beginning as a formidable team and a close family unit, and the second showing them separate and now living among humans, but coming back together to battle the villainous deviants. So you know there was some family drama in that shenanigans. So they're like, nope. Because I'm guessing one of them probably couldn't take care of all of it, but I feel like they have to work together as a unit.
Yeah, kinda somebody like screwed
Shazam.
Up.
Shazam! we want them to discover mythologically that it's a challenging sci-fi movie, but it also has human heart. So we want them to meet the 10 heroes who will hopefully they can relate to. So I'm curious, like you said, like it is a hand wave. So can they do this well?
And that's, I think, one of my favorite parts about this. This is going to be like a day one seeing for me on this one, because I'm super invested in this. I want to see what's going to go on, because I don't expect much. But at the same point, I want to see what it means for the Celestials and everything. But then even so much that I'm kind of entertained, because I read an article that was talking about Kumail Nanjiani, his character. Mm-hmm. But so much more about him is that the producers had to tell him to kind of back off on getting beefed up, because he was getting too swole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, bro, it's okay. It's okay. It's like, you look great, but you don't need to be as completely ripped as you're going, because you're going to turn into the Rock at this point. Like, back off a little bit.
Is this the most origin stories we've gotten in a single movie? It has to be, I think, right?
Yeah, because it's a full team at that point in time. I'm trying to think. We haven't had a sort of full team set up like that. And even something, if you look at like the Fantastic Four, there was four of them, five if you count Doom on the last one, which it's still an origin movie, kind of. But it's, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, because I think Avengers introduced, what, like three or four? Like Hawkeye?
Well, Hawkeye we saw in Thor.
Okay, we did see him for a second. Yeah. Well, he wasn't introduced though, right?
Like we never got a backstory to Hawkeye officially.
Yeah.
Just little bits and pieces everywhere. He was introduced as Hawkeye working for S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Thor movie that came out literally right before the Avengers movie came out. And I feel like the only ones, like Spider-Man, we got for the first time in Civil War. Black Panther we got for the first time in Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one might be just a ton then.
Yeah.
How are
yeah.
they going to do that?
I feel like they can't go too deep.
An extremely long runtime.
Oh my God.
How
it
much
is
it?
Very long. It might be the longest.
I bet, huh?
See, while you look at that up, something I didn't know was happening. The Obi-Wan Kenobi series that we're getting with Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
And Hayden Christensen and all that. Kumail Nanjiani is also going to be in that too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think I just read an article saying that he got to meet him and everyone was talking about how Ewan McGregor is just so nice and so cool. And like his character has to be intimidated by Obi-Wan Kenobi. But when he met him, he was like Obi-Wan Kenobi mode. So he felt like super intimidated by him. He's like, oh, God.
Chloe Zhao, who is the director.
Who did, was it Homeland or Nomadland?
Nomadland, yes.
Which won a bunch of awards this year.
She has confirmed that it is 2 hours and 36 minutes long.
Don't drink anything.
Yeah, it is the second longest movie for the MCU, standing just behind Avengers Endgame, which was at 181 minutes, which was a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 156 minutes to 181, but it's still the second longest movie. And then Infinity War was the 149, 7 minutes shorter than this next one. So it's up there in terms of that, and I feel it has to be in order, like you said, to explain all of these characters, because just even looking at this picture, 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 10.
Yep,
there's 10 of them.
10?
Yeah, and I have to imagine they're going to gloss over a couple, but they can't gloss over a lot of them, right?
I feel like it's probably going to be more of a backstory of them as a unit.
I'm hoping. The look on Joe's face just is like,
this is a recipe for disaster.
I hate to say that.
But
there's not. They haven't had a whole lot of disastrous Marvel movies. Now, there have been some major clunkers. Usually those have been sequels, like with Thor or with like Iron Man 2.
Well, let's be fair, Thor 1 was okay.
Wasn't great. The Dark World was worse. And then at least it was recovered with Ragnarok, which I've recently watched again, and it still holds up. It's a really, really good one.
It is a great rewatchable movie.
Yeah, that's for our savior, Taika Waititi. So he was the one that made that one happen. But yeah, 10 people to address and deal with in that is going to be cumbersome.
Especially now, that's the thing. If it had been, hey, we didn't know we had powers, and they come together, I'd be like, you can do that in 2:30, right? But to explain for each individual character and just be like, they couldn't help anyone. I'm just going to be like,
10 characters. Well,
okay.
Joe, 10 characters over 7,000 years.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it feels like this should have been like a Game of Thrones epic type of show.
Mm-hmm.
Like 7 seasons plotted out.
And a bad guy that has to be so powerful that they have to fight them as 10 superheroes. Like, this is like in a whole span of 10 Marvel movies being jammed into one.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's good because I like Angelina Jolie and I love
Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, thank you. I pronounced his first half of his last name with the first half of his first name. Bad. But yeah, and the other actors are always, I assume, will also be great because Marvel never does a bad job casting. They are fantastic at casting great actors.
Totally, yeah.
But I hope that somehow we get a great movie and that I'm not sitting there wondering how long it's going to take me to go to the bathroom.
You might want to borrow your dad's Run Pee app.
How can I miss anything? Where we got 7,000 years in this movie.
One of the things that I've been really confused about lately is when people are talking about The Sandman, because there's two versions that are either one I think is already out or coming out, and the other one is not out yet. There's the Netflix version, and then there's the Audible version.
Really?
So there is an audiobook version, because I know it's a comic book. I don't know if it originally started as a book or if it was a comic book first.
I think it started off as a comic book.
Comic book first.
Yeah, okay.
I hear nothing but great things about it.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I have read the early ones, yeah.
So, like, I know Netflix has been developing one, which this is obviously Neil Gaiman. I will say Gibson. That's somebody else who's also Brit. Love you, Neil.
Yep.
Twisted Dark. Check it out. Neil Gaiman is obviously behind all these, but they have such great actors for both, and I'm kind of upset that there's two of them. Because I kind of want to, like, mix and match the cast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because apparently, like, Kevin Smith is a character in the audio version.
As what?
Merv Pumpkinhead.
What?
Yeah, he was saying that, like, he recalls that he landed the role by kind of doing, like, he was talking about how he just always pictured him with a New Jersey accent. And I'm just like, okay, sold.
Okay, I do remember this character, and just bringing it up, yeah, Mervin Pumpkinhead.
And I hear that they're going to be different. They're going to be different from each other, because I think the Netflix version, they're not going to have a Constantine. So, like, there's going to be differences, of course.
Well, if you want to know about Mervin Pumpkinhead, he was a wisecracking, cigar-smoking janitor with a pumpkin head and was a part of Dream's realm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't even know where we are anymore.
Okay, just to kind of give you a quick rundown, because I needed this bad. The Audible cast, you have Riz Ahmed, who we saw as the bad guy in the first Venom movie. He was also in mm-hmm. that movie, The Sound of Metal. That was also really, really good. We also have Kat Dennings.
Oh.
As Death. Taron Egerton as John Constantine. Neil Gaiman as the narrator. James McAvoy as Morpheus. Samantha Morton as Yorana Blackwell. Andy Serkis as Matthew the Raven. Michael Sheen as Lucifer. And just in a side-by-side comparison, Matthew the Raven in the Sandman, the Netflix version, is going to be played by Patton Oswalt, who is a phenomenal voice actor. I love him in, like, everything he does. Lucifer is going to be played by Gwendolyn Christie. And it's interesting that so both in Eternals and this, it all ties together to this comic book that I've mentioned before called The Wicked and the Divine. In The Wicked and the Divine, it's about a group of gods that every 99 years they get to be reincarnated, and they live up a certain amount of years. So depending on what the god's age was, they might live to 13, might live to 20, whatever it is. Then they'll find out that they're gods. Like, they get the revelation. The person who looks over them basically comes in. It's like, by the way, do you not remember? Oh, snap, because there's a lot of snapping in this. You are now a god. You now look the way you are supposed to look. And you remember everything. However, you got 2 years to live, bitch.
Yeah.
That's all you get. You are now a god. You have all the powers of being a god, but you only have 2 years to live before the process happens all over again. And in this, Lucifer looks just like Gwendolyn Christie.
Nice.
And I'm just like, ah.
Yeah.
And it's that same idea of them being very powerful and not knowing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Except this generation, they're like, screw it, we want to be famous. And so they become famous. But so do check out that comic series. But I'm just like, why does Gwendolyn have to be this Lucifer? It's just me bitching today, I guess. I don't know.
I can tell, yeah. You've got feelings about this.
Yeah, Charles Dance is also going to be in the Netflix version. Stephen
nice.
Fry. They're both going to be great, so.
Yeah.
So much stuff. Let me know what you guys think. If you guys have read Wicked and Divine, or what do you guys think of the Eternals doing the not knowing about their powers the entire time, not discovering them?
Yeah, let's hear your thoughts on all of those.
Until next time, guys, stay nerdy.